Hi, this is Mika Borum. I am the filmmaker, director, actress of Hollywood.com and some of your other favorite movies. I am the next guest on Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
I am ready, and I hope you are too, for another edition of On Screen and Beyond, the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week on Screen and Beyond, Mika Borum is going to be joining us. She was in The Tom Show. She was on the film Crush, Dawson's Creek, Hearts in Atlantis, Mighty Joe Young, The Patriot, and on it goes. She has been in a lot of stuff, and she is now the star and director and writer, and we'll get into it, everything else, of a new movie called Hollywood.com. And she's going to be telling us all about that, and it's all coming up. Mika Borum in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond, so let's get ready for that. I want to thank all the people who have sent emails talking about the last episode of On Screen and Beyond, and some of the ones that I've been posting. A lot of people are reacting to the posts that we have been putting up and sending emails, and a lot of people didn't realize that with all the 500 episodes we've done in the past that we had interviewed so many of these people. Like the ones I've recently put up was Gary Sinise. We had him on a couple of years ago, and June Foray, who of course is the voices of so many characters, and she was kind enough to do a show for us a few years back. And also Gary DiCarlo, who was the singer for the song Na 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 Na, Hey Hey, Kiss Him Goodbye. All right, now everybody knows that song from baseball games and sports events and TV commercials. Right now there's one running with that song. And but the original singer of that song has a great story to tell. I won't even get into it. You got to listen to that episode. It's a great interview, and Gary tells us all about that. Also, David Naughton was on the show, and David was in The American Werewolf in London, and he had a hit song called Making It, and he was also in a show called Granite Flats and a whole bunch of other stuff. And of course, Charles Grodin was on. He passed away just this week. And we had him on the show a few years ago. And a lot of interesting things he told us about. And Mark McClure was also one that I put up. And he was Jimmy Olsen in the Superman movies with Christopher Reeve. So a lot of great interviews went up. We got more coming your way. I try to put up one a day if I can. And we'll keep them coming at you. So best way is to subscribe to On Screen and Beyond. That way you will not miss any of them. You don't have to go back and look at everything that we've put up. Okay, that way you can get it right immediately. And then, if you don't want to listen to that one, just delete it. But that's the best way to catch them all. So anyways, keep listening and subscribe. Tell a friend, the whole works. And like us on Facebook and on Twitter, and follow us and Instagram and all those things. We're there, so check us out. And let's get into it. It's time for Remake Madness on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remake Madness. It looks like the story of Batgirl will once again come at us, and it will be directed by the duo who directed Bad Boys for Life, and it will be on HBO Max. Leonardo DiCaprio's production company has acquired the rights to the remake of the film that won the Best Oscar Picture for International Films, and it's called Another Round. There's no word yet on who's going to direct it or the cast or anything like that. And Gloria Estefan has joined the cast of the remake of Father of the Bride, and she's going to play the bride's mother. That's it for Remake Madness. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movies. Well, a biopic of Cher is in the works over at Universal. It will be produced by the producers of Mamma Mia. And Julia Louise Dreyfus will star in Tuesday, which is being described as a mother-daughter fairy tale. And the plot is under wraps, and a Netflix film about New Orleans Saints coach Sean Payton, starring Kevin James, is in the works, and Rob Schneider and Taylor Lautner, who was a past guest here at On Screen and Beyond a couple of times, has joined the cast. And that's it for upcoming new movies next on Screen and Beyond. It's taking you down to Sequel City to find out what's coming your way as far as sequels. Sequel City, well, it looks like as far as sequels, each week we give you an update on Knives Out 2, and this week is no exception. This week, Kate Hudson has joined the cast. And a sequel to Hocus Pocus, called Hocus Pocus 2, we've talked about this, will premiere exclusively on Disney Plus in 2022. And I'll bet it will be around Halloween. And Lindsay Beer will direct what is being called a follow-up film of Pet Sematary. And it will show on Paramount Plus. And that's it for Sequel City. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, what's coming your way as far as TV on DVD. TV on DVD, June 15th, Parks and Recreation, the complete series, arrives on Blu-ray and DVD. And on July 13th, I Dream of Jeannie, the complete series, is coming to Blu-ray. And on June 8th, MacGyver, the remake, season 4, lands on DVD. That's it for TV on DVD. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, movies on DVD. Movies on DVD, June 15th, Godzilla vs. Kong will be hitting Blu-ray and DVD and 4K. And it looks like nobody hits 4K, Blu-ray, and DVD on June 22nd. And Siberia, with William Dafoe, comes to Blu-ray DVD on June 22nd. And that's it for movies on DVD. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it's TV and entertainment time. TV and entertainment time, well, it looks like NCIS goes Hawaiian in a new CBS show this fall. It's called NCIS Hawaii, and it's going to be on Monday nights. And it looks like canceled shows include American Housewife on ABC and The Unicorn on CBS and MacGyver on CBS and Superstore on NBC. And Arnold Schwarzenegger will star in a new Netflix TV show about a father-daughter spy team. And Nick Santora is the creator and will be the executive producer and showrunner. Now, Nick was also a past guest here at On Screen and Beyond. I'll try to post that one up for you this week if I get a chance. And you can hear Nick talk about some of the things he had going on back when we had him on. And that's it for TV and entertainment time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we have a guest, Mika Boerum, who was in Mighty Joe Young. She was in The Patriot. She was in Hearts in Atlantis, Dawson's Creek, Crush, The Tom Show. She's a director and star and a whole bunch of other things of a new movie called Hollywood.com. Mika Boerum, next, right here on Screen and Beyond. Joining us today on Screen and Beyond is an actress who we have seen in Blue Crush, Riding in Cars with Boys, Mighty Joe Young, The Tom Show, Dawson's Creek, and many other TV shows and movies. In her latest movie, a comedy called Hollywood.com, she also wears the hat of director. It's Mika Boerum. Mika, welcome to On Screen and Beyond.
Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful. I appreciate it.
Mika, I have to tell you, for one thing, I love this kind of movie, the Hollywood.com. It's you know, I love action, nonstop movies, and this one is that type of movie. And also, you've got Tom Arnold. I mean, anything he's in is a riot.
I love Tom. Yeah, he's hilarious. It's funny getting Tom on board with this, because Tom actually played my dad on the Tom Show, a television show for WB, when I was about 10 years old. And so when I started putting this project together, I reached out to him, and he was so just game to get involved. He's a really, like, nice, supportive person. And so he was like, oh, my gosh, because he plays L. Jade, the cartel drug lord in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, yeah, that sounds amazing. I could totally get into that. And interestingly enough, he has a new television, or it's a docuseries that he's doing for Discovery Plus right now with his sister, called The Meth Queen of Iowa. And so it's like they've got this whole drug family affair going on. He's the cartel leader in my movie. His sister's got that. It's all out at the same time. They're taking over. I don't know.
Yeah. So first off, before we get going too much here, why don't you give us a little rundown of what Hollywood.com is about?
So Hollywood.com is an adventure comedy. There's a production company, and they're in the race to make this next big Mayan film. And then within that, there's all of these quirky characters that are trying to network and climb ladders and sell each other out. And so it's just this mush rat race of wacky people trying to do whatever they can to accomplish their goals and win in this. And so within that, there's like a cursed piece of jade that comes into play and attack camels and wildebeest. And it's something that is the perfect escapism film for coming out of the pandemic. There is no violence in it. You know, there's no drugs, there's no sex, there's no foul language, there's no nothing political, nothing religious. Like, it's just, you just watch it and just to get to have a good time and just pure escapism and mm-hmm. get to travel to Latin America and Arizona and Texas and all over the place.
Yeah, and that's what we need right now. You know, just something to take our mind off of, so, you know, bring us to a place where we can just laugh and have a good time. And this sounds like the movie that's going to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, should enjoy. Sit there and enjoy a big bag of popcorn.
Now, how did you get involved with this movie? You know, I mean, you're starring in it and also you're directing it. Now, did you have anything to do with the writing of this?
Oh, my goodness. I wore so many hats with this, which is fun because it makes it, you know, like a true independent passion project, spirit project. So I wrote it, directed it, I star in it, I cast it. So the project, it was really fun because I was involved with the inception all the way through distribution on it. But the inspiration for the film is my background, having grown up in, you know, kind of like the Hollywood acting scene because I started acting at 7. First movie was Robert Redford movie, Education of Little Tree, and then went on, you know, like you'd mentioned, Blue Crush, Dawson's Creek I was on for a while, I was on House, Patriot, Wong Came a Spider. Like, so I grew up on set around a lot of Hollywood characters, and I always thought it would be fun to take some of those experiences and some of those players and make something comedic with that. And then I wanted to add another element to it, and the other element that's added into the film is this wonderful sort of colorful Latin America, Mayan mystique with the enchanted stones. And my dad's actually a gemologist.
Oh, wow.
So he's in the film, too. He plays my dad, put my dad in it. And he collaborated on this with the writing and with producing. And so we were able to mesh his world of being a gemologist with my world. Like, we actually took a trip to Guatemala to buy jade years ago before we started putting this film together. And we were at the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, which is one of the biggest ones in the world. And no one had this Guatemalan jade. So my dad and I took a trip there, and we looked for it, and we found these people who were way off the beaten path. And they came out, and they had all this, like, magical, wonderful jade that they had pulled from tombs. And they tried to sell it to us. Because the Mayans believe that you put a piece of jade in the mouth of someone who's passed away, and then that helps take their spirit into the afterlife. And so they tried to sell us this, and we're like, oh, my gosh, like, that could be cursed. No. And we ended up buying other jade, but it was such a funny experience. And I was like, okay, we're going to add the cursed jade into Hollywood.com, too. Like, that's just too fun.
Jeez. So you really spread yourself on this movie. I mean, did you, after being the person who wrote it, did you find yourself arguing when you were the director that, you know, okay, why did you write this? why this should be not this way. We should change this. Did you get into any of that stuff? Did you change a lot after you got with the actual movie?
You know, it was interesting. So in the true spirit of independent film, like if there was something that came up, like a really wonderful location or something became accessible that would add a lot to the film, we did rewrites. And so that was an interesting experience to be involved where you have the power to do rewrites when something comes up, mm-hmm. but then also keeping things, the narrative streamlined. But it was funny with my dad, when I had him acting and stuff, because he had his dialogue and he's like, I wouldn't say that. And I was like, okay, well, you're an actor now, so science. Your character would get in there. He's like, I'm just gonna cut that line. I was like, no, you're not. Which is so funny. It's so funny, it was such a blessed, awesome experience to, be able to have that collaboration and that relationship with my dad. But it was funny at points because we're just like, rah, rah, rah. Yeah, wouldn't say that.
Did you have to pull the old, see what this hat says? It says director here.
Yeah, he goes, I made you.
Yeah, well, yeah, he tops you on that one, so.
Well, I guess that kind of supersedes anything I could say.
Yeah. So, well, it sounds like you had a fun time making this film, too.
Oh, my gosh. We had a total blast on this. So we filmed in Guatemala, Mexico, Arizona, in the sand dunes. We were in the sand dunes in Yuma, which was a crazy experience because it was 110. All of our equipment was overheating. We had ATVs out there and the cars driving through, and we had the actors hiking through the sand dunes. But we had to film there during that time period because those sand dunes are used for a lot of off-roading. And so to get that pristine, really beautiful look, we had to go when no one else would want to be there. But it was fun on this too, because the film was a really strong collaboration with all the actors. So I actually went through, and as I was putting the script together, because my background's in acting, it was really important to me to bring on strong actors, and I wanted to bring on a lot of them. And so I reached out to friends that I had worked with before, in the 40 plus movies that I've done since I was a child, and cast it that way. And so with the people who are in the film, I sat down with them and developed specifically characters that were things that were against typecast, because they're all working actors who've done a lot. And so, what would be a fun experience that they don't usually get to play? What would be really fulfilling? And so with that, we ended up with these just wild, weird character arcs and strange things. So my friend Cody Cash is in the film. He was on Desperate Housewives for years, among other things. So he always plays a mafiosa psycho killer. And he plays Marvin Lovejoy in this, the dancing, singing, networking his way to the top secretary. So, for him, he was like, oh, so refreshing. No one ever lets me have fun like this on set. We have Devin Rattray in it. Devin Rattray plays Andy Slimick, who is the super hustler, moving, shaking, con artist, producer, guy. And he's been in so much. He was originally Buzz in Home Alone, the older brother with the tarantula and Buzz's girlfriend.
Yeah.
His career has spanned so much. He was in Masterminds. He's on the Amazon TV show The Tick. He was in Russian Dolls, the Netflix show. Mosaic, the HBO TV show with Sharon Stone. Oh my gosh, his credits just go on and on. We have a great cast. Paige Howard's in it. She was in Adventureland.
Yes.
She usually plays very sweet girl next door. So she plays like really far out, producer, very successful. She's on top of the world, which we actually have her on top of the world in the movie on Mount Everest. But I just had so much fun collaborating with these people, with these true artists, and sitting down and you know, letting them include their thoughts and their ideas on it too.
Wow. That's great. Jeez, I'm sure they love that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for them too, it's also refreshing because sometimes, you know, you get on projects and it's a lot more corporate where you don't really right. get to necessarily have an opinion. And this is like a passion project across the board. So, you know, my big thing is if people are masters at whatever their craft is, whether that be acting or music or whatever for the film, like, I want to hear what they had to say. Like, I want their input. I want them to put their touch and polish on it. Like, for this film, we had a polished edit done by Kevin Ross, who has won Emmys for Stranger Things and Californication. And, you know, so, like, stuff like that. I'm like, yes, please. Like,
yeah.
Do what you do. You don't need too many opinions from me. Like, you're a master. Do what you do.
Huh. Now, was it difficult having a, you know, you filmed, you said, in Mexico and in Guatemala. Is it difficult to get, I don't know, the permissions or the whatever you have to do to do a film in other countries?
It can be. We actually have a production company in Mexico. We have one in Sonora that we've put together because we're doing a series of projects over there. My next project I'm rolling into is children's films, educational children's films, and those are going to be filmed in Mexico. So generally speaking, it can be more difficult, but because we already have that set up, it's not for us specifically. We did have some funny experiences, though. One in particular, we filmed the kidnapping scene on the streets in Mexico. And when we filmed that, we were filming it. We wanted the cars. We kind of wanted the space. And so we did it more of like indie guerrilla style. And so we did it with a small camera, limited crew, and it was so funny. So without giving too much away, with this kidnapping scene, like, it's sort of just very abrupt. I guess it's most kidnapping, but there was a guy who came by on a motorcycle while we were filming it, and it was so funny because he looked over, he saw the whole thing, and he screamed. And then he rode off. But you know what? Nobody ever showed up.
Wow.
So he didn't call the cops. He didn't call anyone to help. I guess when you're in Mexico and you see a kidnapping, you look the other way.
Right. Jeez.
You don't know who's involved. You're not sure you want to get into that.
Wow.
So that was really funny. We had another experience that was funny, too. We use that special... in Mexico, we use a special open-air cab driving of the vehicle when we first arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically in the cities, you have to have special permits, and they have to be like closed-door cabs. And so we were filming with this guy, but we had it within the city with this open-air cab. And it was so funny because the police showed up, and they were like, oh, my gosh, like, you can't be driving in this area. You know, this isn't going to work. And my dad, who speaks fluent Spanish, goes, oh, my gosh, like, my daughter just loves pictures with everyone. She's just a picture fanatic. Like, can she get pictures with you, too? Like, we just flagged him down to get a picture. He was getting his car worked on, and, like, and it was funny because they were so thrown off. They were like, what? He's like, yeah. So I jumped between them, threw my arms around him. We took a picture. And then they were like, okay, cool. So we had a couple of experiences like that that were just kind of like a little oddball. But
wow.
But, yeah, no, it was, you know, it's fun. You can't fake Latin America in a studio or something. You know, you've got to go there and be in it to get the colors and the feel and everything for it. And we specifically, too. So the film, aesthetically, everything that takes place in California and Hollywood is cool tones and blue tones. And then the story, since it cuts back and forth between the two, everything in Latin America is warm colors. And we colored, we made sure that they're like bright reds, very saturated. Everything pops out of there. So we just wanted the juxtaposition between the two.
Hmm. Wow. That's really cool. Now, with you wearing so many different hats, more than what I had thought originally here, did you find that demanding? Was it tough doing all those things?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it was so funny because, you know, I've done short films before, and I've done music videos, mm-hmm. but this was the first, you know, full feature directorial debut. And so halfway through filming, I was like, whose idea was it to have this many actors, this many locations? Like, this is so ambitious. But, you know, for an independent film, I should have just put three actors in a room and gave them an issue.
Like, right.
I really bit off a lot here.
Yeah, Mika, you start off small and work up.
I know. I was just like, well, you know. But I've always really loved adventure films. And I just, I think that we got some really, really awesome performances from the actors. Mm-hmm. And I think that their characters, even the bad ones, are lovable. You know, they have these like redemption scenes. And I think that, yeah, we just got these like really weird, wacky characters with great performances. And so for me, that's really fulfilling that I was able to, you know, create all that and make like an escapism film that takes you on a journey somewhere.
Yeah.
So
you mentioned that you've been acting since you were 7 years old. So this question is kind of an odd question because obviously you started early. But was acting what you always wanted to do?
I think so.
I mean, you were seven, so yeah.
We're going to have to take me to one of those with the therapist that, I don't know what that's called, but where they help you get the repressed memories from before seven.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what the real story is on this. I'm going to talk to my parents because they started that child labor young. Make sure it was what I always wanted to do. I really enjoy acting. I really, like, I've always been fascinated by people and their stories and culture and history. And so acting is very cool because you get to explore all of that. And sometimes so in depth, you know. So I think that it's always something that I've found to be very fulfilling. And then I think the progression into directing and producing and being like involved from the very beginning with developing projects, I think that it's sort of a natural progression along the way. Because growing up acting, you know, one of the big things is going around and asking everyone, like, what do you do on set? Why do you push that button? And they're like, oh my gosh, someone take this little kid away. It's got so many questions. Oh my God. I'm just trying to work here.
Yeah. But your curiosity has led you to this, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you remember the first episode or TV show or movie that you were in?
Yeah. So the first project that I did, so I did some child modeling stuff originally, but then the first like scripted project that I did was this film called Education of Little Tree. And it was produced by Robert Redford. And it was just such a cool experience. It really kind of set me off into the direction of enjoying the acting experience. But we filmed in Montreal in the fall, so the leaves were beautiful reds and oranges, and then they built out all the sets, and it took place in the 1920s, and they built out a whole, like, town authentically that had, you know, the tobacco drying station, the old candy shop with all, like, the old glass that's sort of warped and, you know, the glass counters, and it was just stunning. It was really, really beautiful. And then my character wore a toe sack dress and was like this little hillbilly girl who befriended a young Indian boy. And then it was about, you know, there's more stuff to the story, but like our specific roles was about this friendship and then about how we couldn't be friends. And that sort of like breaking up from the adults coming in. And so that was just like such a cool experience. Great film. And that was the one that sort of set me off and stuff.
And you were Allie McBeal, right? In
Allie McBeal, yes.
At 7 years old, you were playing young Allie McBeal.
Yes, young Allie. And that was funny because for that, they ended up cutting that clip that I did into so many different episodes, because Allie's love interest for a lot of the show was the character Billy. And so they would flash back how, like, she knew him when they were young. And I don't know if you've ever seen that clip, but it's there's two little kids, and they're looking at dogs. And they're like, oh, look at those dogs, like, hanging out. Oh, then they smell each other's butts? Should we do that, too? And that's what that clip is. And they cut it in to, like, so many episodes.
Wow.
I think it's in, like, 10 episodes, 15 episodes. It's crazy.
Wow. Now, it was funny, I was looking through your credits, and there's been a number of people that have been on this show, my show, and you've worked with, and it was interesting, I'm trying to think, in Jack Frost, Joseph?
Joseph Cross?
Yes. I had to think there for a second. Yeah, he was on, and so you were in Jack Frost back then, and A couple of episodes ago, not too long ago, I don't know if you did any scenes with her, but Linda Pearl was in Mighty Joe Young with you.
Linda Pearl.
She played Ruth Young in the film. I believe it was the mother of the character. You were playing young Jill Young.
Yeah, so that she played my mom and everything then, right?
She was the mother, I believe. I'm trying to think back in that movie.
Let me pull this up. Yeah, she would have played... she was my mom then. Because the thing was, in the beginning of the film, I'm with, young Joe, the little monkey, which is so cool because it's actually played by the late Vern Troyer within a monkey suit. And then Rick Baker's the one who did all of the...
Wow.
Prosthetics for it.
Yes.
And then there was that wonderful, wonderful actress who played my mom, who was in all the stuff with me. I'm blanking on her name, but I think it is. I'm trying to pull it up right now. I think it is Linda Pearl.
Yeah.
Let me see.
But it's funny how many different movies, people you work with, all the different people that you've worked with over the years.
Yeah, Linda Pearl. Yes, she's the one who played my mom. That's who all my scenes were with. And then she passes away.
Oh.
In the film. Yeah, she passes away, and they have this big, beautiful funeral scene for her.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I always remember, because they had me sing this, like, random, I had to learn this song in Swahili. So it's like one of those things in life, I'm like, all right, I know this random song in Swahili. That's right. Yeah, huh. Go acting.
Yeah. Now, you were in the Waltons, a Walton Easter, too, I see, on your credits.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, and I had
I had a spelling bee.
A lot of the Walton kids on the show I've had over the years.
Oh, but, very cool.
Yeah. So is there any, I mean, like I say, we could go on and on of all the different, Touched by an Angel and the Hearts in Atlantis and, you mentioned Along Came a Spider and all these things. But, I mean, the people you've worked with, Mel Gibson and, Morgan Freeman and all these different people in these films, is there any special film that you've worked on that, really struck you and said, wow, I can't believe I'm in this?
You know what? I've been so fortunate to work on a lot of really wonderful projects with just awesome artists that I respect so much. So there's not like one particular one per se. I think that what stands out the most to me is Hollywood.com, because I was involved in every area of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. It's interesting being on the directing side of things too, because. For acting, you show up and you have these experiences and you're there, but when you get involved on the directing, the producing side, like, you're involved in every single choice. So it really becomes a day in, day out project for years that you're involved with.
Yeah.
And so,
it's your baby.
That's probably like the most poignant like experience that I've had. With them, but I've worked with some cool people though. I had fun, when we did The Patriot, that was a blast. They tried to be as authentic as possible with the costumes, with the locations. Like, there was just so much care to detail on that was a crazy experience. you know, Along Came the Spider, Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman's amazing, so awesome. He loved to sing show tunes between scenes, which is just like really fun. I played young Drew Barrymore in Riding Cars with Boys. And I remember, like, I showed up on set the first day, and she was so cute. She, like, came up to me and threw her little arm in mine, and she was like, "Oh, my gosh, you're going to play little me." She's like, "Let's go on a walk around the block." And so she, like, walked around the block with me, you know, like, "Hey, how are you? How's school going? How's life?" So, yeah, I'd say most of all my experiences, too, have all been positive.
Yeah,
I've had really positive experiences on set, so yeah. I've been fortunate with that.
But now that you've directed a full movie, more plans for directing?
So a really exciting thing just came through right now today was there's a music video that I directed during the pandemic. The music video is for an artist with Dolly Parton's management company called Travis Tidwell. And the song's called Catch Me If You Can. And so the music video was just nominated for a Josie Award. And Josie Awards are the biggest independent music awards. And so it's nominated for Music Video of the Year.
Wow. That's great.
So that's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I filmed that during the pandemic. And it was such a crazy experience because we were on 200 acres in Arkansas. And so I had crew come in from California. And then I had the artist came in from Nashville, and everyone drove in. And then we had these like pods of people, and like, we're like, okay, is this going to work out? Like, what's happening here? Because there were so many like difference of opinions too about everything going on,
right?
But it all worked out, and it turned out awesome. So I'm excited about that. And then next is the children's films that I'm doing, and then I've got a music documentary that I'm working on that would be country music. We got that music video also on Country Music Television, the Travis Tidwell Catch Me If You Can one. So that was cool. And there's a historical drama that I've been putting together too. It got put on the back burner a little bit because of all of the stuff with the pandemic, but that one I'm so excited about. It's about a young boy. It's a coming of age story, and he travels across the United States jumping trains. He's about 12 years old in the 1920s, and he stops off in all of these different areas. He's from California, and he goes to the South, and then he ends up coming back to California, and he has these like beautiful life lessons with all of these characters in these different areas where he stops off. And when he finally ends up coming home, he's completely changed to a different person. I love characters, like, because acting and stuff, so I'm like, when I direct something, I'm like, I like really want good actors, really want strong characters, really want strong character arcs. I think that's one of the most important things to me.
Yeah, wow. Gee. So I know I want to finish up with one final question, but I do want to stress for people to check out Hollywood.com, and where can they catch that film?
Hollywood.com is on Amazon. It is on Amazon. You should watch it. You'll love it. It's fun. It's goofy. It's weird. It's relaxing. You'll go on an adventure. Good escapism. You can watch it with the whole family. It'll be fun.
All right.
There's camels. Attack camels. What more could you want?
That's right. You got to love camels. I mean. So,
yeah.
Mika, the final question. Maybe you don't have the much time, the way it sounds, but with all of what you have going on, when you do get to relax, what are your favorite movies now and of the past, and what are your favorite TV shows now and of the past?
Ooh, that's so hard because it changes all the time.
True.
But I will say, more recently, I just revisited, which I enjoyed so much, Spore Loose.
Mm-hmm.
Spore Loose is a Dutch film, and they ended up making an American version of it with the same director. And the American version is The Vanishing, which has Jeff Bridges in it and Sandra Bullock and Kiefer Sutherland. And both of them are worth watching. They're sort of like odd mystery films. I love those.
Mm-hmm.
Last night I actually watched Stir of Echoes with Kevin Bacon,
yep. Mm-hmm.
which is really fun, really eerie, sort of suspenseful again. What else do I love? What else? I always love Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, which is the Bette Davis.
Yeah, way and, back, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. There's something about it that kind of cracks me up, too, with it being like a horror movie, but also the child actress like singing and dancing that Bette Davis does in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with her little curls, I'm like, oh, there's something in that that like strikes me that I think I relate to. I don't know what it is, but so I love that also. What else? For TV shows, Mosaic, the one that Devin's in, is really interesting. That was Steven Soderbergh and Sharon Stone. It's sort of a mystery show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's on HBO. And then there's a show called The Third Day, which is pretty interesting, that stars Jude Law, that's mm-hmm. also on HBO, that's worth seeing. That's really fun.
Yeah.
And what else? I love everything, though. To be honest, I can watch anything, and even if something like, you know, I don't know, I just love watching projects because I know what a collaboration it is because... You know, you have so many different people on different levels, whether it be like the Foley artists who are making the walking sounds and the doors closing,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the music that's driving it along, or the aesthetics, the camera, or the color correction that happens afterward to give it that specific look or feel, like, you know, the actors, the directors, the writing. So I can pretty much watch anything and, like, find something that that I dig on it and, like, just get into it.
Well, Mika, I want to thank you so much for joining us and letting us know about Hollywood.com. People can check it out on Amazon. And I wish you luck with it. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. This was a blast. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
What a fun guest, Mika Borum, right here on Screen and Beyond. Be sure to check out Hollywood.com, and that's not com, that's .con, C-O-N, all right? And anyways, it's one of those fun movies, so be sure to check that out, and we thank Mika for coming here on Screen and Beyond, telling us all about it, and wish her luck on that. So, we want to thank, like I said earlier, all the people who have sent in emails. We love hearing from you. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can send an email to feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. And, of course, we are on Instagram at onscreenandbeyondpodcast. And on Twitter, we are on at onscreen, the letter N, beyond. All right? And, of course, like I said, on the website, I'm working on that. We had a major crash of our hard drive, so I've lost some of the software to reload stuff up to it. So we're sort of in limbo right now for another week or so before I can get things straightened out after the hard drive crash and get everything running again. But anyways, you can still send me emails. I can get those. Those are that feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. So love hearing from you. And the best thing to do, tell a friend about On Screen and Beyond. Get the word out. Also, subscribe, or download all the episodes if you want. That's the, you know, if you subscribe, you automatically get it as soon as we post any of these. And you don't have to go through and scroll through all. We're up to, what, 130 or so right now. And we'll continue to put more up. So anyways, subscribe. You get them automatically. And if you didn't want to hear that certain person, you could always just delete it. So that's the easiest way to do it. Otherwise, you have to start searching through. But anyways, that's a wrap for this episode of On Screen and Beyond. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemrak. Take care.